Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9-11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And he is on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, happy Friday. How's it going?
Good. What's your view for Easter? Ham or lamb?
Ham.
Ham?
Ham.
You like a ham?
Yeah, I love a ham.
You love
a ham? I almost enjoy the ham more at Thanksgiving than the turkey.
You really like ham.
I'm a ham guy.
Now, do you make your own ham, or do you go get a honey baked ham?
Go get honey baked ham. Honey baked ham. It's just easier that way.
You just like a
throw the glaze.
Throw the glaze on
about an hour and a half into it. Let it crisp up. Let it get what do they call it? Like the bark. Get it tacky. Whatever you call it. That's good stuff.
Do you like just a slice of ham, or do you like it in a slider with a sandwich, like a little biscuit thing? You know,
You've seen me, right? You've seen my.
I have seen you. I have sat across from you.
So that being said, I don't discriminate.
You like either one.
I do not discriminate.
I don't love ham. I'll be honest with you.
So you're a lamb.
You got a ham. But I've never really. So we grew up. I grew up raising sheep, and so we ate quite a lot of lamb, and it wasn't that we would associate this is Lucy the lamb that we're eating today, you know. So, but we had quite a lot. I don't love the taste of lamb. Truth of the matter is, I'd rather just have a turkey. Like, I will never pick a ham sandwich over a turkey sandwich.
You're a shepherd?
Yeah,
you raised sheep.
Yeah, we had 20 acres. It was just for fun. And so we had chickens, and we had sheep.
And you had your egg route? You have a lot on your resume.
We had about 20 sheep. And, you'd raise the little lambs and send them off to market. And once a year, they're shaved for their wool. They're sheared for their wool. And so I did all that. We also had a cow briefly. That didn't work out very well. We had a couple of pigs.
What do you mean by the cow didn't work out very well? I think you need to add to the story here.
No, it wasn't really my cow. It was my brother's cow. And it bellowed constantly. And we lived on the dead end of like a normal suburban street, but then we had 20 acres at the end. And so a little farm. So the cow was disruptive. I think it was horny, honestly. I think that was why it was hollering.
So what'd you do with the cow? I think that's really what I wanted to know.
We just sold the cow and got the sheep instead, actually.
Okay.
But and then I think I've told you this. I had a raccoon briefly.
Yes.
For a year, I had a raccoon. We had quite the... There was one year...
It's crazy how easily raccoons can be socialized, though. You remember Jackson Dillon? Jackson Dillon used to he had a bunch of buddies with raccoons.
Really?
Yeah.
We once had some dogs would attack the sheep occasionally. They'd get in there and they'd kill the sheep. And not your neighborhood golden retriever necessarily, But there were people who had husky, and they would come, and they would, you know, they're wolves, basically.
Right.
And they'd come, and they'd kill the sheep. And so there was one summer that they killed, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 sheep. And then a bunch of the others were really cut up. And this is, the story gets a little gruesome. And so we brought the vet over, and the vet sews them up and whatever else. But then the problem is they're living in a barn. And you know what's in a barn? Flies are in a barn.
Mm-hmm.
And flies lay eggs, and those little eggs have babies, and they start growing in the wound. And so you've got literally, this is a, sorry, this didn't mean
yeah, this is good, yeah.
Afternoon. So you got maggots
in the wound.
And so then we actually, to get away from the flies, we moved about 4 or 5 sheep into our basement for a couple of months in that summer. That's how it was an unconventional house. We had an unconventional house that we lived in, but I'm grateful for it. You know, I was a 4-H kid. You'd raise a market lamb. Lamb's born. It's got to be born after, I guess, January 1. And you'd raise it up, and then you'd take it to the market lamb show in the summer, in August, and then it would be sold and go off to slaughter. And the sad thing was, like, the, you know, there's like a, there's a little girl who's raised it, her first lamb ever, and it follows her around like a puppy. And she's, and the, oh, the tears from those little girls when they're knowing that their little lamb is going off to slaughter. But anyway, I ate a lot of lamb when I was growing up, and I didn't love it. And so I think I'd rather just have a turkey.
Okay.
I think I'd rather have a turkey or a, but we did get a ham today, and we're going to try to glaze it and do all that stuff ourselves. And have a happy Easter.
I'm glad you finally got to the answer to the question, but you know, I'm still reeling a tad bit from a wound with maggots. All in it.
You paint
pictures, Jeff. I'll tell you that.
We had to literally get tweezers and pull them out.
Okay, thanks.
And then all right.
I think I get it. I think
then you'd pour hydrogen peroxide into the wound.
I get it. I understand. Yeah, I don't need more details. It's okay.
You know, people may not realize I'm a country boy, but I really am. Like, you look more like you're a country boy. You sort of like, there's a no, but it's me. I'm a country boy.
I am the opposite of a country boy too. Complete opposite.
Have you ever been on a horse?
I had, well, like when I was real young, not any time in the last 15 years.
Right.
Yeah. No, I've ridden a horse once.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd feel bad for at this point. A big horse.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Jeff.
But no,
thanks, man.
Just because you're large.
Thanks.
You
know? That
you're
horse.
You're the one who just said, have you seen me? You
know,
it wasn't me who said that.
Yeah. Just because I say it, I mean, you know, like, I don't know if the permission goes to you just because I say it about myself. I'm a self-deprecating guy. I can do that. I think there's rules of engagement here that I don't know if we followed through. I don't know if we followed through very well on this.
I wasn't implying you're obese, just large, you know, like, you know, who else wouldn't get on a horse? I wouldn't put
DJ Burns.
I would think Donovan Klingon would also have a, you know, I'd feel bad for a horse if Donovan Klingon got on a horse.
Okay. I hear you. All right. I got you. Now, speaking
in
of
good shape. Yeah. But
speaking of, let's move there. Let's move there. Cause I'm tired of talking about, wounds infested with maggots. You bring up Donovan Klingon and UConn. Isn't it getting ridiculous? UConn and what they have done in the NCAA tournament the past 2 years, 30-point win over San Diego State, never remotely close.
Right.
Donovan Klingon didn't even play well.
No.
It is getting to be insanely ridiculous to watch this team kill everyone. And now I checked FanDuel this morning. They were plus 200 to win the national championship before they played last night. They're even money to win a national championship this year, and we're heading into the Elite Eight.
Wouldn't you take UConn at this point?
I'd take them over the field, yes.
I'd take them over the field. But now, it is funny. Like, this is... This is something we have seen quite a bit before. You know, there have been Kentucky teams that were supposed to be this good that have not won championships. Back in the day, there were UNLV teams that were supposed to be this good that have not won championships. Very famously, Georgetown and Villanova. You know, there was no way Villanova was going to beat that Georgetown team. They beat that Georgetown team. And so I would take UConn over the field as well, but you can absolutely imagine them losing a game, right? I mean, how could you imagine the shooting from North Carolina and Arizona last night? It was just wildly atypical. Teams can have bad nights. That's the beautiful thing about, a one-game tournament.
Yeah, but the problem is UConn, it's so hard to get all of them to have bad nights at the same time.
Right.
Like, they are 5 of 5. They can space the floor. All of them can play offense. All of them are two-way players. They can knock down a three at a high clip. And I mentioned it. I brought up the Bill Belichick example where it's like when they had the Patriots dynasty going, you'd have some years where they're airing it out and passing for 5,000 yards. You'd have some years where they're running for 2,000 yards.
And
you'd have some games.
And yet there you have the Giants beating them.
No, I get it. I understand. But then you'd have some games where they start the game out running, having 15 plays running right down your throat, running power at you. And then they'd have, the next game they'd have 15 passes to start the game. I think UConn is in that same vein where it's like there is no style of basketball that you can throw at them and they're going to be surprised and not able to play that style. They can play any style of basketball, defense, offense. You can go into the half court. You can try to go up tempo. They will match you any way you try to play.
Yeah. I mean, they're terrific. As you point out, Donovan Klingon was not even good last night. And they were, it was not a contest. Now, I don't think that team, their opponents were great. And I suspect the NCAA is perfectly happy to have UConn playing Illinois next, given that, Illinois is bringing some baggage into that matchup. And so, they're incredibly impressive. I am with you.
Yeah, and you remember my whole conversation about Nate Oates yesterday and his style?
I was going to say.
Yeah. I will say this. I admit when I'm wrong, and I admit at least I still have that skepticism. I'm going to have that skepticism with this style of play because you still have to bring in the talent. But if you get enough talent, they will make enough shots. I think we've seen that. But Sweet 16, 3 of 5 years, now in the Elite Eight. Nate Oates at Alabama, who hadn't made an Elite Eight since 2004, has not had, consistent success in the entire 21st century. Man, he's I got to give him a pat on the back. It's been unbelievable what he's done.
Yeah. And again, that's not one that I expected them to win. But I didn't expect North Carolina's best player to shoot like that either, 0 for 9. He had not had a game all year long where he had not made a three, and all of a sudden he does not make a three. And Alabama did what Alabama does. So.
Yeah. It was a tough night to be either a current or former North Carolina scoring guard. Caleb Love was 0 for 9 from 3 as well.
Yeah,
that was rough.
They were both 0 for 9 from 3.
And that Clemson team is just, give me your take on that. It just seemed to be, there's nothing special about what they do. They just, if you miss shots, they'll take advantage. If you make any mistakes, they'll take advantage because they don't make mistakes.
Incredibly tough-minded. And I thought what we saw, Arizona did make the run to tie it up, and then you're thinking, oh, but then you remember, oh, yeah, Baylor also made the run to tie it up, And they just didn't fold. It's just really impressive. They know who they are. Coach continues to, it felt like out of every timeout, they draw up a play that would get them an easy basket, right? And, they're poised. They're tough-minded. They've got good bigs. They've got good guards. I was really impressed.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee tonight. This is the last thing I'll ask about college basketball. I think if we're if Tennessee and Rick Barnes are going to get through, this needs to be the opportunity they seize. Creighton's a good 3-point shooting team. They are a great perimeter defending team. I think they're top 30 with 3-point percentage allowed so far this year. Dalton Connect has had a couple of bad games. I think he's due for a good one. This needs to be Tennessee getting through if they're ever going to get through, because I think offensively this is probably the best or second best team he's had offensively in his entire career at Tennessee. Correct me if you think I'm wrong there.
Yeah, and they have lots of options. The fact that they survived the rock fight with Texas, right? And people talk, say this all the time. There might be a game where you got to not have your best stuff and still win. Well, that was Tennessee. They can do that. And Connect can go off. I like their chances. Now, it is interesting when to say this has to be the year. I don't think anything was like last year could have been
every other year. Every other year should have been.
You know, they should have won last year, right? There's no, and here they are again this year. That's the thing, is that they've built a. It's what we talk about here. What do you want Memphis to do? They've built a excellent program. They got 2 5th-year seniors on that team. They got a transfer on that team. They got like they have a program, and they can win with defense. And now they have a guy who can just go off. And I don't think Creighton, I mean, I think you can make an argument that Creighton shouldn't be here. You know, Creighton struggled with Akron, I think, and then they, you know, and then they nearly, you know, were beaten by Oregon. I haven't been that impressed by Creighton, and I've been, you know, and all year long, I think Tennessee. So it does feel like a real opportunity for Tennessee. They're favored by 2.5, I think. Now, you know, their next opponent will be tougher, but I would imagine. But I like their chances tonight.
Talking with Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist. Also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now I have to shout out because I think you have a cameo, right, in the Marc Gasol documentary that is premiering on YouTube tonight, brought to you by the Grizzlies. It'll be at 7 p.m. You have a cameo on there. How was that?
I have not seen it. I did not go. And maybe I was invited, but missed the invitation. I think that must be. I'm kind of a disorganized human.
But you're in it though, right?
But I am in it.
Why didn't you get the no invite? That's strange.
They came over to my house. I probably was invited. I just didn't get. I just, you know, I lose track of emails. So they had a premiere last night, and Chris Harrington went, and he was on a panel afterwards where they talked about it, and. Michael Blevins and that crew over at with the Grizzlies just do a great job. They did a great job with the Zeebo one. I look forward to seeing the one tonight. I gather, yeah, they came over to my house and interviewed me about Mark, and I gather I made the cut somewhere. But you know, for Mark, and this is what Chris said about it. With Mark, the story. It's really almost as old as the Grizzlies, right? Because yeah. Mark and I clearly remember this. When Mark arrived, it was because the Grizzlies had drafted his big brother. And so here he comes to the press. Here comes, and even then, Powell, like Shane was sort of the star of those first press conferences because he was the, you know, reigning player of the year in college basketball. And he was polished, and Powell was kind of shy. And then there was this little brother along with him. And then he experienced life as a Grizzlies fan, and he grew up. His formative years were spent, you know, at Lausanne and learning to love fast food and all of that. And so I really do think that Mark's story, and then the disappointments with Powell, it's the story of the Grizzlies, the disappointments with Powell, the not being able to win a playoff game, the trade, which was so controversial when Powell was traded for, you know, what felt like beads at the time. And then it turns out that the little brother is able to do something the big brother couldn't do, which is, you know, deliver this team meaningful playoff wins and really embed this team in the DNA of the community. And so I know Powell, like, he went on to win a championship and went on to, you know, do great things, but he's a Grizzly, and in some ways he's the most Memphis Grizzly because Zeebo fits here, Tony Allen fits here, you know, Mike was tremendous, but Mark grew up here. He sat in those stands as a fan before he was a player, so I think it's just wonderful the fact that his, you know, his number's going up in the rafters and certainly well-deserved.
Where do you think he ranks in Memphis Grizzlies history?
Oh, I think, he's, what has he made? He's Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
I think he's the only, he first team
first
All-NBA?
All-Star.
He first, no,
you
was, is he, no, I don't think he's the first.
Was you Zeebo first All-Star?
I think Zeebo was, okay. I think he's, I mean, to me, at the peak of his powers, Zeebo was the greatest Grizzly, right?
Right.
Like Zeebo at the peak of his powers was the greatest Grizzly.
Sure.
he's the one who really carried him over San Antonio. But I think, all things taken into account, Mark is the greatest Grizzly. You know, at his Zebo's zenith was higher. His ceiling was higher. He was more of a destructive force when he was at his best. But over the course of his career, I think Mark is the greatest Grizzly. Okay. And obviously, you know, where will this go with Ja? You know, we'll see. You know, Ja has a clear opportunity to be the greatest Grizzly.
That does bring something to my mind. Connor and I were talking about this last week off air. Haven't heard a lot from Ja. I kind of enjoy it. And he's doing some stuff out in the community and there's no cameras around.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I think it's a good thing that we're not hearing from Ja a whole lot right now.
Yeah, what have we? If you follow the hieroglyphics on social media, has he even been saying much there?
Not at all. I mean, he doesn't tweet at all.
That's good. No, I he really has been he's been the NBA's forgotten man. I really think the Grizzlies are the NBA's forgotten team. And I look forward to the reckoning next year, because I think people are going to be reminded very quickly, why this team is a top four team in the West. And so, the quiet is good.
The based on this year, though, and where the Western Conference is, top four is really hard to aspire to. I know this team has the capabilities when they add the bigs and they do what they need to do this offseason, sure. And Vince Williams Jr. added, although I'm kind of nervous about the injury thing going on right now with his patellar tendonitis or whatever. But G.G. Jackson added to the fold, I get all that. This Western Conference is ridiculous with parity. And you have the Pelicans are playing really good ball now because Zion's healthy.
That's interesting. I think the Pelicans are interesting. Are they really becoming what they're supposed to be? Zion, particularly defensively, is a new man. But I still think the only teams that I will concede next year to start out, and I'm not saying they will be picked here, but the only teams that I will concede I will pick ahead of the Grizzlies, I think we'll finish ahead of the Grizzlies, are Denver and Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Everyone else, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Grizzlies finish ahead of them. You know, what's going to happen with Karl Anthony Towns? What's going to happen with that, with that team? Obviously, Minnesota's good.
The Clippers have had way too good a luck of injury luck this year, next year. Come on, I can't project that.
Holding. Phoenix is old, right? Yes, you're right that New Orleans has looked dramatically better. I think they're top 10 now, both in offensive and defensive efficiency. And so I take them more seriously than I used to. But, are they really? Are they better than the Grizzlies when the Grizzlies are healthy? I don't know. I'm certainly not prepared to concede that. Sacramento's kind of taken a step back. Golden State's old. The Lakers are old. Like, Dallas, Luka's unbelievable. But here they are. You know, Dallas and the Suns, they may be so great, but they're fighting for sixth right now, you know? So are they terrifying? I don't think they're terrifying. I think the only teams that I would write in ink 1 and 2 in some order next year are Denver and Thunder. And then, I think there's room to finish in the top four.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. You have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Yes, sir. That is Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Now, Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Get over to 964 June Road, conveniently located off of Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. It is a two-story storefront. It's a massive store, and you get in there, and you're going to be met by a kind and courteous staff that will show you in the direction of whatever you need. And what are the things you may need when you show up there? Of course, clothing. They have the best brands, Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. They have, vintage tees for your favorite teams as well. They have Grizzlies. They have Tigers. They have Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama. You name it, they have it over at Oxbow. Then they have a vinyl selection for all the music lovers. They have sports memorabilia. They have card collectibles. You can get some hunting and outdoor essentials while you're over at Oxbow. If you get to the Grove or you get to Tiger Lane, they have cups, koozies, coolers that you can take advantage of, tumblers as well. Get over to 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road, behind the Amoco Station. And by the way, make sure when you go in there, Pat, my dog, A-list celebrity in Memphis, Earl, dog Earl, the dog. Make sure you pat him on the head and tell him Gabe sent you. And then, if you don't want to go in-store, I know people do online shopping, make sure you go to shopoxbow.com. That is their online store. They have a wide selection, vast selection there as well. Shopoxbow.com. And when you go to checkout and you fill up that shopping cart, there's going to be a spot to put in a promo code. Where you put in that promo code, put in The Gabe Show. All caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. And you will get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or to 964 June Road, make sure that you shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, we still have plenty upcoming on The Gabe Kuhn Show today. We have some NFL news and notes to talk about. And there has been a coaching change at the University of Memphis for the football program. We'll talk about that when we return right here on 92.9.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Feel is there a point that today? They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
I think this music is fitting because if you want to do something special for that significant other in your life, you have a great opportunity coming up tomorrow. This Saturday, March 30th, Robert Irwin Jewelers in Bartlett is having a 6-hour 60% off sale. This is the real deal, a real 60% off sale. Not up to 60%, it is 60%. There's no marking up to markdown. For 6 hours starting at 10 a.m. this Saturday, get 60% off anything in the showcase. Robert Irwin Jewelers only does this sale one time every few years. Last time they did it, it was 5 years ago in 2019. You can get 60% off designer jewelry, engagement rings, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones. Name brand watches are even 60% off. So you'll have over 1,000 items to choose from. Get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers in Bartlett. Special financing is also available. Up to 6 months interest free at Robert Irwin Jewelers. This Saturday, in-store only at the Robert Irwin Jewelers in Bartlett. It is at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard and Stage Road next to Kroger. Sale will end Saturday at closing time. For complete details, go online to rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now, I have to start with a little bit of Tiger football news. I know that they're rolling along in spring and they're trying to have everything all sorted out, but we know how much movement can happen with the transfer portal and with coaching and everything else. It's just a lot of moving parts. It's a revolving door at times. But we have a quick revolve here. We had Lou Esposito come in not but 2 or 3 months ago. He was hired by Ryan and the staff to be a D-line coach and a co-defensive coordinator. He was previously the defense coordinator at Western Michigan. He did really well. They were the number two ranked scoring defense in the MAC in 2022. So he really is a good coach, and we were all happy to have him back in the city of Memphis. He's a former offensive lineman here around 2000, but he's already off. Michigan is expected to hire him as its new defensive line coach. And honestly, good for him. Like, I there should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a good thing for him, positive. Sharon Moore gets a good coach on the defensive line, having to sort of switch up everything this offseason, get a new staff in there because Jim Harbaugh's taken some guys with him, and a lot of them have moved to other places. But this is tough. You're going to have to just find another one for probably halfway through spring ball and run with it. But this is the risk you run when you hire good coaches and you hire good people around you. But I do want to make mention of the fact that to get a guy like Lou Esposito here to be a D-line coach, to ultimately get hired by Michigan, it does show that Ryan, as much as you may be peeved with how much staff turnover there is, I certainly just think it's natural. He does have a lot of connections, and he can bring in good staff. He can bring in good coaches. And Lou Esposito was an example of that, but it was 2 or 3 months. That was quick.
Yeah, it's a bummer that he was in and out, but you know, I do think that it speaks to the quality of coaches that you know Ryan Silverfield is trying to bring in. And I've seen some people today a little bit salty, but to be honest, I can't hate on a guy for going to Michigan.
I mean, at that type of place, I mean, I don't know if you saw Alabama in the assistant pool that was given to Kalen DeBoer when he got there. But, like, some of these guys, the wide receiver coach at Alabama under Kalen DeBoer makes $1.1 million a year. Defensive coordinators are making $2 million, $3 million a year. There is a big difference in money when you're going from Memphis to Michigan to be a D-line coach. And I will never blame anyone for making that jump. It's a good thing. It's a positive thing. And I think a lot of people, they may be a little bit salty because this was his alma mater. I mean, he went to the University of Memphis. But when it comes down to opportunities as a coach, I think most people, regardless of how loyal you think you should stay to whatever company you're a part of, if you get offered a better job that gives you more opportunity, you take it in any walk of life, and certainly with coaching. But I think, like, being that there's team involved and football involved, you feel like they're supposed to be more loyal. That's not how it works. Hell, we saw Trev Alberts leave Nebraska to go to A&M for a bag because he had more resources. So I don't think loyalty needs to be a massive conversation when we're talking about the difference in money from one place to the other and difference in opportunity from one place to another.
Now, in a year where the line's going to be a very big deal for the University of Memphis, does that worry you at all?
Sure, at least a little bit. I listen, that D-line would have been in great hands with Lou. But I don't really have – I know it's going to be a little bit of a short turnaround because you have to have somebody in there in spring, and you can't really turn it around that quick. You're going to have to do – it adds more to Ryan's plate and that whole staff's plate because you're going to have to conduct interviews. And
is this a GM
that.
Job?
Yeah, maybe. If it's possible. Bo Davidson – from Georgia Tech, hey, step in. Show me something. See, you go hire the next D-line coach. So it may add more to their plate for the time being. But we'll see who the next guy is. Then I'll make my distinction. It's going to be hard to find somebody as good as Lou, though. Lou is a very good defensive coach, very good defensive mind. Now, moving on to a little bit in the NFL, I have one normal bit of news and one disgusting bit of speculation, I should say, around the 2024 NFL draft, and that's to do with J.J. McCarthy. There's your spoiler. First, regular bit of news. Eagles are sending their edge rusher, Hassan Reddick, to the New York Jets for a conditional 2026 third-round pick. That could be a second, depending on certain things that happen. I think Hassan Reddick has to play 67% of the snaps for the Jets. And it's kind of funny to see how this whole thing played out. Hassan Reddick, you were wondering what's going to happen with him. The Eagles didn't want to pay him a whole bunch of money. They wanted to offload him. They bring in Bryce Huff, who was with the Jets as an edge rusher, and now Hassan Reddick replaces Bryce Huff by going to the Jets. They just swapped guys, ultimately. And Hassan Reddick's the more high-paid guy, but he's been phenomenal. Since 2020, he's never had a season under 11 sacks. 12.5 sacks in 2020, 11 in 2021, 16 in 2022, and then 11 last year, and he was hurt for a little bit of last year. The Jets' defensive line, their edge rushers, their ability to stop the run, what they have up front, it's just lethal. And I think Hassan Reddick will certainly add to that.
Jets have had a pretty good offseason.
I think so. I would say so. And outside of, like, the Hassan Reddick thing, I think the best things they did was they strengthened their offensive line. That was what you needed to do. You got John Simpson at guard. You traded for Morgan Moses from the Ravens. That's what you – Tyron Smith, I forgot. Tyron Smith, $6.5 million, which could escalate to 20 if he plays enough games. I think that was the most important thing they needed to do. Because I think they were taken care of. Even if they didn't find another edge rusher to replace Bryce, they would have been fine. They have Jermaine Johnson. They have a bunch of guys.
Well, last year, the only reason they had even an outside shot of making the playoffs later in the season was because of their defense. It's not like their defense needed the help. Like you said, their offensive line was a huge, huge weak spot on that team last year, and they've tried to address that at least.
All right, now here's where I want to go with this final bit of NFL news. Matt Miller does a good job as the NFL draft analyst for ESPN. He's their lead NFL draft analyst, and he put out a new mock draft. In this mock draft, I am floored by what he projected as a trade. I mean, Connor, you haven't heard this. I can't wait for you to hear this. He has the Broncos trading up to the number 4 pick that the Cardinals hold. The Cardinals said that pick is up for grabs. Whoever wants to come take it, come take it. But he has the Broncos trading up. What he has the Broncos giving up is absolutely insane. He says that there is a real world that he's thinking of right now where the Broncos give up number 12 overall, a 2025 first-round pick, and a 2026 first-round pick to draft J.J. McCarthy at number 4. That's what's being pressed out there right now. And I don't think J.J. McCarthy's a bad player. But waging that much future to go get a guy like that seems to be a no-win situation right this second. Because if you're the Broncos, you're going to have to offload guys because of the money you're paying to Russell Wilson that's dead money the next 2 years. You're not going to be able to compete at the highest of levels. And if you're competing by year 3 with J.J. McCarthy, that next year following, you're going to have to be thinking about a contract extension if he's working through that and playing well. The J.J. McCarthy hype is getting to be way too much. And it may come across as I'm hating on the guy. I think he's a fine player. And I think he's got athleticism. And I think he can be a good, solid quarterback in the National Football League. Do I think it'll take time? Yes, because he was not asked to do that much at Michigan. But to give up 3 first-round picks, first-round picks in 3 straight years to go get J.J. McCarthy as the number 4 overall pick in the NFL draft in 2024 is absolute lunacy. It makes no sense whatsoever, especially for a franchise that has completely embarrassed themselves this offseason with the Russell Wilson thing and the Broncos.
The Broncos seemingly just have no idea how to properly pay for a quarterback. It's very weird.
Now, obviously, this is a projected trade by Matt Miller. He's in the know. He knows who values who in the NFL draft. So I'll take him at his word that he thinks this is a real possibility. But this J.J. McCarthy stuff, Connor, it is too much.
It's getting nuts. It has officially reached the boiling point, and now people are starting to talk crazy. The kid can be a good NFL quarterback, but we have got to relax acting like he's going to come in and be a franchise changer.
He's literally capturing all of the positive stuff that Caleb Williams captured preseason last year. Like, he is the talk. I mean, we have 3 great quarterback prospects that I think will be taken ahead of him. Great. Better than him. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. And he's the one that's getting the positive headlines right now. I can't understand it. And I guess that there's like a disconnect between NFL scouts, NFL GMs, and the media and how they feel about J.J. McCarthy. And maybe it's a polarizing topic that keeps getting pressed out there. Maybe that's the most rational explanation. But some of the things you hear these analysts say about this guy, they'll talk about his arm strength and how he fits things into the tight windows and all. Where did you see that at Michigan? I'm not saying he can't do it, but he wasn't asked to do it. There's just a lot of projection and assuming with J.J. McCarthy, as opposed to, I've seen Jaden Daniels do it. I've seen Caleb Williams do it. I've seen Drake May do it, even though he had a tough year last year. I have not seen J.J. McCarthy do the same things as those 3 guys. Again, it doesn't mean he's not capable. But I don't know how you can just take a guy that high in the draft and assume that he can get those things done for you in the passing game.
I think the best point that you've made is the offense that he was running under Harbaugh at Michigan would be very different
than anything he's stepping into.
Well, especially a Sean Payton offense.
He is not going to, in a pressure situation in the playoffs, throw 14 passes in the National Football League. That's not a realistic thing. He's going to be asked to be in the shotgun, and he's going to have to get through his progressions and deliver a ball on target and on time. And I just haven't seen enough of that from him. And I will keep banging this. I don't think that he's incapable. But it's just hard for me to like say, oh, I'm going to take this guy fourth overall when I haven't seen him do the things that you want an NFL quarterback to do. And you're, he was in a pro-style offense. So he's under center with two tight ends and he handed the ball off. What does that mean to me? The best quarterbacks, the championship-winning quarterbacks in this league, Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allens of the world.
Patrick Mahomes.
You know what he does? He drops back 35 times a game, makes plays with his feet, makes plays off platform, one of the most accurate guys in the league. J.J. McCarthy didn't show me any of that.
Well, if you look at the past few Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, does he play like any of them?
I guess Matt Stafford, I guess you could, like, close. I mean, that, not even really,
that,
though.
He lets that MF-er fly, though.
That's what I'm saying. And Matt Stafford's always let it fly.
Yeah.
I mean, he was never scared to throw picks when he was with the Lions.
No, he was not.
So, like, I don't know, man. It's just strange to me how in this day and age of these, you know, massive, larger-than-life skill sets at the quarterback position where you have the legs, you can make plays off platform, the Caleb Williams, the Jaden Daniels, those type of guys. We're focused on this guy who handed the ball off 35 to 45 times a game. Just strange. It's just strange, and I'm going to leave it at that. Let's go ahead and get to small talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, for Small Talk, we head out to Greg Campy, who is the head coach of Oakland. In this tournament, obviously knocking out Kentucky, and it's kind of funny to see what has transpired here, because there apparently is a Louisville resident that sends checks to whoever knocks out Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. Greg Campy put out a tweet or an X or a post, whatever the hell you call it these days, and he said, a Louisville resident, an obvious fan, sent Oakland a check with a nice note. He says normally he sends a certain amount each year to the school that knocks Kentucky out of the tournament. This year, because of our story, he doubled the amount. Truly the definition of March Madness. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Hate driving you to donate money and send money to a school in Oakland that you probably never heard of before this tournament.
That is the beauty of college athletics in one story.
Yes, it's phenomenal.
That is why we love college sports.
And there's healthy hate. I think that's healthy hate. Honestly, that feels constructive to me. Like, you hate Kentucky so much that whoever knocked them out, you're like, I'm going to go. Oakland probably needs that money.
Yeah, definitely do.
Especially NIL money, donate to the collective. Come on now. Like, there is some bad hate in this world. That feels like as constructive a hate as you could have.
I encourage that behavior across the country.
Yeah, I do too. But shout out to Oakland. Shout out to Greg Campy. We have a third hour, though, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. And we're going to use it wisely. We'll hop into the Blitz at 6:30. We'll get you out of here at 6:50 with a rewind. But coming up next, we have some Grizzlies, some NBA, a little bit of Tennessee maybe to talk to, because he is a graduate of the school. But DeMichael Cole will join next.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.